Of course, he had to leave, he and his family, whose grandparents were buried in China. And his mom and dad, second generation missionaries, were buried in Japan. And he had the privilege to go back to China and visit the country of China. And he said he met this particular preacher. And he had been put in jail for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and his testimony. And they began to persecute him and beat him and torture him. And they tortured him so bad, they wanted him to deny the name of our Lord and to name the God of the Bible. And he said the man was suffered so much that he agreed. So they let him out of jail. He went home for a day and stayed one night. And he come back the next morning and said, "Put me back in prison. I cannot deny my Lord." And they tortured he and tortured his wife. And Brother Simonson said, I got to meet him and talk with him. And he said, I remembered seeing him when I was just a little boy. And he said he had such of a glow of Jesus on his face. And said, the man that was with me wanted me to get my picture taken with him. And said, I told him, no, I won't have my picture taken with this man. I'm not worthy to have my picture taken with this man. He said, I have never in my life saw any woman that had the glow of God on their face like that preacher's wife did. Now, I'm going to be very brief tonight, and I'll have you out of here. I told the pastor by 9 o'clock, and maybe before, I'll be through. But I do have a word or two for you. And you know, it don't take a lot, it just takes the right word. I remember Mr. Spurgeon saying there was a man in his congregation, picked up a song book, opened it, and read the title of the song, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Fell under Holy Ghost conviction and got saved by the marvelous grace of God. It's not the amount of words if we can get God in the arrangements. So I'm reading the same text I read last evening, and I'm speaking these days on the Great Commission. I'm in Matthew 28. Verse number 16 down through verse number 20. Matthew 28, verse 16 down through verse number 20. I talked to you last night about the importance of availability. And that's what verse 16 talks about. Then the 11 disciples, Judas had already denied the Lord, went out and hanged himself. Jesus has been crucified now and is risen. The book of Matthew is almost completed. He had told the disciples to go to Galilee, and there in the appointed place they went. The Bible said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore in the light of what I've just said in verse 16 and verse 17 and 18, go ye therefore. Where are we to go? And teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now there's really five things here that I want us to see, and in case you come in tonight and you were not here last night, I'll just say a few things about this matter of availability. That's what I really dealt with last evening, was just that fact of being available. If the disciples had not have gone to Galilee like Jesus told them to go, and if they had not been in Galilee to be available, then they would have missed seeing him there on the mountain. And what I'm saying to you and what the scriptures is saying is that we need to be available in our place that God might speak to us about whatever that he wants us to do. And I want you to ask yourself the first question, am I available? Have I ever made myself available? You know, if we could work out, a lot of times we think, as people, if I could just call the shots and tell the Lord what I do, then I'd be willing to make myself available. That's not the way it works. You make yourself available, and then the Lord tells you what he wants you to do. And it doesn't make any difference where it's in this matter of going, whether it's in this matter of praying, or whether it's in this matter of giving. We just must be available for God to use us as he wants to use us. But you move then from availability. We all ought to be available. And the Bible tells us then that they worship. There's really five things. They were available. Number two, they worshiped. Number three, they submitted themselves. Number four, they obeyed. And number five, they were promised God's power was with them. Now, I won't preach all those things, but I want to give them to you. I probably won't deal with maybe just one tonight. We'll just operate kind of by the clock, okay? But I want you to notice you move from availability to this matter of worship. And I made a statement to the pastor today, and I believe this is true concerning all of us. I said, if we could only see the Lord, and I'm talking about not with a natural eye, but if we could really see Jesus high and lifted up, we would have no problems with missions at home or missions abroad. We'd all be the missionaries that we need to be. Can you imagine these disciples? No doubt they were disappointed. They were despondent. Jesus had been crucified. He had been put in the tomb. The ladies that were at the tomb said, he said for you to go to Galilee, and he would go before you. And the Bible said in verse number 17, and when they saw him, and that's what we need to see in this conference. We need to see the Lord, Jesus Christ, in all of his power and all of his glory. Folks, that's the thing that's missing in the day and the hour in which we live. I remember a day in our churches, and you know, it's heartbreaking when you see how far we have deteriorated in the last 40 to 50 years, and even how far we've deteriorated in the last 25 years. But you know what, folks? There was a day when we used to come to church and we come to meet God and we come to see the Lord, and that's what we need to do in these days. I don't know how. You know, I think we just need to cut through everything and do our best just to get down to, you know, the real, just get right down to the very foundation. Some of you young people, when I was some of you young people's age, after God saved me, we'd go to meetings like this meeting, and we would lay in the altar for an hour or two or three, and sometimes pray into the night, and sometimes all night, that God would move. And we'd stay there until what would take place? We would see the Lord. What most folks want in our day, they want to see somebody perform. They want to see somebody that will entertain. They want somebody to preach to them and tell them that there is no cross to bear in order that you serve Jesus. And if there is a cross to bear, that you can figure out the one that you want to bear, and if it doesn't suit you, then you can lay it aside and you can get you another cross, but just don't get so involved in this thing of serving God, and even in this matter of not only serving God, but sending the gospel around the world, except as you please. The Bible said when they saw the Lord, what did they do? They worshiped. They humble themselves. When they saw him, they worship what? They worship him. That's what verse number 17 has to say. They worship him. They bowed at his feet. And I'm going to tell you something. Young or old, middle age or what? There's not much that's going to take place until we come to the place that we are willing to bow at his feet. There's not much going to happen until we bow at his feet and we get another glimpse of the Lord Jesus and we say with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, Lord, what would you have me to do? Have you reached that yet? I'm talking about this meeting. How long has it been since you prayed that kind of a prayer? Since you fell at his feet? Huh? We got to get to a point we're broken. There's not much brokenness anymore. We've almost lost our tears. Dr. Hyman Appleman, a Jewish evangelist. Dr. Appleman said when he went to meetings years ago, he said if the prayer rooms were filled and Christians were weeping and Christians were broken, and they come and would fall at the feet of Jesus in prayer, and wait upon him to move upon them, and broken over their loved ones, he said you didn't have to scold them when you preached. You could preach to the unconverted and the lost. But he said when you go to a meeting and our hearts are cold and our hearts are indifferent and we really are not in this matter with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and we're not broken on what's going on around us, and not broken over our lost families, and not broken over our lost children, and not broken over our lost grandchildren, and we're not broken over this world that's lost without Jesus Christ, there's not much going to happen. Oh, Lord, help us tonight to worship Him. Help us tonight to worship Him. The average church now thinks that if you're swaying and clapping your hands and beating your drums and beating your gums, that you're worshiping Him. But I'm going to tell you, when we fall at His feet and we look up and say, God, I'm a wretch and I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, and Lord, I want You to move on the scene, and God, I want You to do something for me that will stir me in my community, in my church, and in my nation, and to the nation, to the regions beyond. Only then is much going to take place. They saw Him. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Amen. But there's another statement here. You know the Bible, God's Word. The wonderful thing about God's Word is the Lord don't cut any corners. Wonderful thing about God's Word is it just tells it just like it is. The Bible said, even in the midst of this, but some doubted. Do you ever doubt? I believe that's one of the great problems of the church. I just believe we reached a point and reached a time that we just don't believe that God can do what God said He can do. Are you ever a doubter? Now, the Lord's used me in a small way through the years. And in times of prayer and waiting on God, I've had the Lord to tell me to do certain things to carry out in His work. And many times God's told me to do things that, as far as man is concerned, is an impossibility. You know, if we can explain our lives, I doubt God's around it. If we can explain what we're trying to get done for God, I doubt that God is too close by. Amen? I've never done anything for the Lord in these years of serving God, but what folks told me that it was impossible to do it. Huh? I want to tell you, young people, you ought to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God. I want to tell you, young families, you need to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God. We've lost our altars and our private places of waiting on God. Some doubted what the Bible said. Some doubted. And I think this is the way Satan works. He comes to you and he comes to me. And he says, can God use you? Some of you students sitting here tonight, the devil's told you that God can't use you like he's used other people. We believe God can use Brother Lazarus. We believe God can use Pastor Dickerson. We believe God can use Dr. Lasius, Pastor Gaddy, and God can use these other missionaries. But I'm telling you, God can use you. And not only can God use you, God wants to use you. He's got a place in His service. Not everybody is used the same way. Everyone don't need to go. But I'm going to tell you, don't everyone need to sit on the pews either. And not everyone needs to sit and say, let somebody else go. Let somebody else do it. Amen. Oh, this matter of the Great Commission. Well, we've heard it all these years. Yes. Well, what are we doing about it? I know this is a mission-minded church, and I appreciate that. But, you know, we just need to be probed a little bit in times like this, don't we? And I appreciate the burden this church has for missions. But we just need to come to the place that God stirs us about this matter. Do you ever doubt? Well, I'd go for the Lord, and I'd do this for God. Well, if he's put it in your heart to do that, he will meet your need. God don't start anything but what he's able to finish it. But we come to a place and we come to the point, Lord, I would serve you in that capacity. I would do this, but I'm just afraid. And we feel with fear. We're not only filled with fear, but we're filled with doubt. Lord, I'm just afraid that I could not do that. Or I'm afraid, God, if I were to start doing that, that my needs would not be supplied and I would be embarrassed. Well, it won't hurt you to get embarrassed, but I won't tell you this. God's never one time let down one of his children. We treat God like he's down here on our level. I want to go to the next one. Next thing. But I want you to remember, before I go there, where there's a lack of true worship, where there's a lack of falling at his feet, there cannot ever be true service. You remember that? You don't start up here unless you look into him. You start down there. You start laid low. And God sometime has to lay us low. We got a missionary at our church. He serves in Australia, and he went somewhere to preach one night. And he got through preaching. A brother came by to him and said, Brother AJ, I believe you've got the gift to discourage people. Huh? Is that what you think about me sometime? Huh? Let's move to the next thing, and I'm going to be done. But if my watch is not wrong from the pastors, I got 6 minutes. And I won't steal any time. The Lord will help me, and he'll help me. He don't want me to be a thief. And by the way, while I'm talking about that, he don't want you to be one either. He wants you to bring your tithes and offerings. That just fit right in, didn't it? They worship him. I like this next point. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, well, I suppose them doubters, when he spoke, I don't suppose they're doubting any longer, do you? He came unto them and he spake and he said unto them, all power. All power's given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. That simply means all authority. Jesus said, I've got all the authority there is in heaven, and I've got all the authority there is in earth. And I've got a commandment that I want to give you, or a commission I want to give you. And I want you to know who's behind you. With that kind of support, my friend, you can go anywhere in this world that God wants you to go and preach the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the one behind us that is sovereign, that is Lord, that is Savior, that's got all power. The church cannot fail its mission when it comes to this great commission and follows these five Bible principles. It is a must that you're going to win. Amen. If you're a young lady tonight and God wants you to do mission work, find you a prayer closet and stay there until God tells you what He wants you to do. And He may not tell you the first day. And He may not tell you the first week. And He might not tell you the first month. But I'm telling you this, if you'll get with God, young man or young lady, and wait on God, He will show you. We're operating on too much machinery. We're oiling it over here, and before we get it oiled over here, it's a squeaking over here. And we try to oil it over here, and then it's a squeaking over here. We don't need more machinery. We need more of this God that I'm preaching about. Amen. I'm talking about, let's put God back. You don't have to put Him there, He's there already. But in our hearts and minds, let's recognize where He is. He is sovereign. He's master. He's Lord. And you got no right to tell Him what to do. He is seated in the heavenlies tonight, and He's got all power in heaven and in earth. And what I need to do is to come back again and fall down in the dust and say, oh God, sovereign Lord of heaven, the one that's got all power in heaven and in earth, oh God, would you not again breathe on me and breathe on my church and breathe on this country? Oh, we need God to move on us. Give Him the rightful place. I mean, He's not going to take second place. He's got to be Lord, and He's got to be sovereign. He's already is Lord, and He already is sovereign. So you just well let Him be Lord and sovereign over your heart, soul, mind, and body. Amen? And when you get to that point and you're willing to follow His feet and worship Him and cry for mercy and say, God, I don't have the resources. I don't have the means. I'm telling you, God will work. God will work. I'm closing with this. I was reading I got 30 seconds. Can I have an extra 30 seconds? I was reading about the missionary. See, it's not good to postpone what God tells you to do. The missionary that God had called to go to the foreign field. And finally, the husband and wife got there, and when they got there, the wife started witnessing to this lady, and she reached her with the gospel. And to make the story short, she come to know Jesus as Lord, and she come to know him as Savior. And she gloriously got in the kingdom, and she said to the missionary's wife, "Oh, I wish you could have come a little earlier. Or my little boy could have been saved." You know, the heathen needs the gospel. She said, "Before I sacrificed him, before I sacrificed my little boy, I wish you could have come." Young people, don't try to hold to your life. If you do, you're going to lose it. Young families, don't try to hold your life. If you do, you're going to lose it. And one of the tricks of young ladies and young men is this. The devil will tell you that you cannot do what God has told you to do. And you cannot in your own power and your own ability. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll come at his feet, he's got all the power in heaven and in earth to put you where you need to be and carry you to where you ever need to be carried. In this world, if it's at home, if it's in another state, or if it's the regions beyond, we must all be involved. We're standing with our heads bowed. The pastor will come.